I just started. Okay, again, one more time. Let's summarize. So what's the Gemara saying? Gemara is saying that...
It says that it included the word minchatcha to include all things that require other stuff.
Right, anything that's in the korban that requires something else, right, requires
malicha.
Anything that on its own, right, like dam, right, does not require malicha. Okay? Okay, stop. What's that principle? You understand? In other words, that's where we have to stop and take a step back and say, is this valid?
Right.
Before we get to the next move in the Gemara. Again.
It has a reading, it's not one of the 13
Nidos. Well, that's for sure, right? But meaning, what is this logic? What's the logic here? The logic is saying that, I mean, it seems arbitrary. But does it not seem arbitrary on the surface? It's saying that, that when does Malicha come in? Malicha is only required when that which is being brought into the series of Avoda, right, is being brought because of something else. Okay? What is that? Is that true? Is that what I said? Okay, when it needs something else, it's brought. Okay, yeah. Let's start with a simple question. The simple question is, the simple question to ask is, in the Havamina, is saying that everything requires Malicha, okay? Including dominates him, right? So why would you think that's the case? Forget Asher's issue of how can you salt blood. That's irrelevant. The Gemara doesn't really care practically how you would salt blood. The Gemara cares about, conceptually, what would you think?
Why can't you salt blood?
Putting salt on Eitzim accomplishes what? Well, it's not Maleach. It's not pulling blood out, nor is it making it taste better or differently. What's the Gemara trying to test out here? In other words, if you follow the flow of the Gemara, if I had my way, we'd do this in like 6 hours. We'd do the whole section here. Because the Gemara, if you remember from last time, the Gemara is trying to test out now. We've created this identity. We've tied together Melach to Korban. It's clear. Now Melach is really part of the institution of Korban, right? Bris Melach, right? I mean, it's clear that's what the Gemara wants. Remember, what's really going on behind the scenes is the Gemara is trying to test the extreme of this theory, which is, well, how far are you willing to go? Meaning, how would you have treated Melach? Treat Melach, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of how you treat Melach. What?
That's another ingredient.
But more than another ingredient. I'd say, in other words, a Kohen can only do a Voda with which hand?
Right.
The right hand, right? Meaning that the very Maisa Avoda now is only defines a Maisa Avoda when he uses his right hand. If he uses any hand other than his right hand, it becomes Puzzle.
Right, that was the heck issue with that.
So maybe what you would say is over here, right, treat it the same way. Say, now that we've created this relationship between Melach and what do you call it, and Korban, maybe you'll say that the same way a Kohen can't do, there's just no idea of an act of Avoda with anything other than his right hand, say it's in here by Melach, right? That Melicha is part of, there's no idea of any aspect of Korban existing without Melach. That's why he's bringing in Dam and Eitzim. I'll show you why more so dominates him soon. But it's bringing dominates him because now you'd say every aspect of Korban itself requires Melach. It's part of the very identity of Korban. So how could you ever exclude it? How could you ever exclude it? A Melicha dominates him. Anything that's part of the Korban, any aspect of Korban requires Melicha. Yeah, you have to realize what makes Dam unique. Dominates him. You have to realize, for those who appreciate Korbanos, there is something you guys are onto, but you have to get it clear. In other words, there is something about Dam and Eitzim, their relationship to Korban, that's different than, let's say, what do you call it, the Maisa Zrika, right? In other words, there's a Maisa Zrika, right? There's an act of being Zorek Dam, right? Or Maisa Kabbalah. There's certain actions required, right? And then there's other things. For instance, in the Mincha itself, I need flour and oil, right? Dam and Eitzim, that's what I want to get clear. What's the relationship of Dam and Eitzim to Korban? Right, it's not going to work by Dom, right? Right, it's not going to work practically. Why would you exclude Dom and Eitzim from Malicha? What do you mean by standalone? You're right, okay. I know what that standalone means. I just want to get a little deeper. What's that idea? You're right. Again, think about what's happening here. The Gemara is saying that when it comes to Melach, right, we have this nice relationship between Melach and Korban. So we're comfortable saying that the meat requires Melach, or the mincha, the dough requires Melach. That we're fine with. Now the Gemara is introducing Dam and Eitzim, right? Again, Dam and Eitzim, which seem to be, you're right, they seem to be, well, they're not really part of they're not the ingredients of the Korban, right? Dam is something that is a byproduct. I shech the animal. And then I have to use the dam to do zrika with, or eitzim. I can't be makriv the mincha without burning it. Haftarah requires eitzim, right?
Yeah.
So it's like I require the dam in order to do a maisa zrika. right? And I require the Eitzim in order to do the Maisa Hakdara.
Right, like a
well, hold on, yeah.
Well, you can't really point out where's the fire, where's the wood, where's the dumb in it. It's used to get the end result. It's necessary to get the end result, but you can't really point out, oh, this component here, that's the wood, that's whatever. So there's no
that's true.
Physical...
Right, there's nothing, that's true,
I mean,
that's true.
I mean, like, you can never look at it and tie back saying, oh, well, I see the wood in there. Like, there's no... It's the wood is used to get that, but yet there is no...
Right, so I'm not disagreeing with that. I think they're right. I just want to put a little thing in your language because, you know, we love the jargon. Right, so you're right. But being a mean, if it's a means, right? So imagine for a second, I'm going to use a big word for you guys, right? In other words, and it's really cool because you're taking a step back. No. Taking a step. You take it. No, that's for you. Yeah. So in other words, like this. You heard that word before?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. See, if you think about a korban for a second, okay, and that's what I love about this little piece here. It's giving us an insight into how korban itself is structured. All right, even though it's by veering, by using melicha as like a stepping stone to getting an analysis of what korban is itself. So you have actions, right? You have components, right? Okay. But if you think about it, dam, right? Dam being the means to do zrika, eitzem being the means to do haktara. So that's in a different zone of korban. That's not part of the identification of korban itself. It's not in the korban. Rather, I argue it's part of the substratum of korban, meaning that underneath korban, so to speak, right, you have certain requirements, right? Right, exactly. It's more primary. You can never speak of a zrika without dam. You can never speak of a haktara without eitzim. Those phenomena cannot emerge. So that's not part of. That's never part of the individual mincha and korban. Right, exactly. It's not that it applies to this or that korban.
It is practically
no, but not, no. I thought he meant practical, like you don't practice with salt on blood. Okay. That's what you meant, though, right?
No, what I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. But practical.
Practical meaning that, like, you can't, these things can't happen.
Right, exactly. But that means it's never tied, but it's never, exactly, substratum, but it's never tied to the actual individual korban. Like, if we're going to have a conversation about korban, right? It's like saying like this. Let's say Dove wants to come over and bake a cake. We can't talk about baking a cake if I don't have an oven, right? There's no reason to have a conversation. You can't talk about a korban, right? If you don't have, whether it's mincha or animal, you can't talk about it if you don't have things like dam and eitzim. There's nothing to talk about. You can't even get the conversation started.
Right?
If that's true, let's see if you picked up on this. So if that's true, e ma mincha. Stop. What does that mean? Well, you can say like this. You can say there's another unique aspect of mincha. What is that unique aspect of mincha? Ma mincha miucheres. It's unique. Shem materes. What does that mean? What does? Oh, so the komitz mincha, right? Matirs the remaining ochal to be eaten. And what does that require? Melicha. Again, when the komitz mincha, I'm just reading from a Sifta guy. Kishem she komitz a mincha, that's why it's very helpful to have him here. I mean, he's Rashi, basically. But I mean, kishem she komitz a mincha. Well, no, he literally. So he's saying that kishem she komitz a mincha hamatir shayareha ba'achila ton malicha. So you see the komitz mincha that matirs the leftover for ochel requires malicha. Af kol she matir, right? So anything that's matir. Avi dam, right? Shematir, right? I should bring in dam as well. That does what? What does dam do for the emure korban? Matirs it, right? So you see, now this is a funny question because it's saying, what's the question here? What's really behind the Gemara? On the one hand, dam is, well, this is why what I was saying has to work. On the one hand, it's saying dam is substratum, which means it's foundational. But that's funny. The Gemara, now you have to explain this. The Gemara is saying something foundational can't do what? Matir. So the Gemara says, tam lomar, me'al minchasecha, v'lo me'al damecha. So it needs that extra exclusion of minchasecha to get rid of dam. Forget that mechanism. But what's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying, since the dam is foundational, what can't it be? It can't be matir. Why not? What does one have to do with the other? All right? It's nice, very nice versatility logic. The Gemara is saying, what? No, it is. Because Gemara is saying, it's saying that, one second. It's saying, if you're telling me it's part of the substratum, right? And therefore, it's what? It's a... No, I know what that means.
What?
Means.
Oh.
Okay, if it's a substratum, what's his right? What's his relationship to the korban? Right? I can't speak of korban without it. But then at the same time, the state's doing what now?
It's allowing for something else.
Yes. No. What's the No, what's the nature of his interaction? What's the nature of the interaction of Matir? What is that?
Oh, that's not a substratum interaction.
What?
Causal.
What? Okay, why is that different than substratum? There's two ways. Okay. See, there's two ways you can understand a causal relationship if we know our Aristotle, right? One way is to say that I can't speak of korban without dam. Right? That's one type of cause. This is different. This is saying in this specific korban, right, this component, Matir, is that component, right? What's the difference between the nature of that cause and the substratum dam cause?
One is chronological
and
the other is
okay. Right. It's more like the material efficient type cause, meaning that I agree with you chronologic. Chronologic is fine, right? Same kind of thing. In other words, that it happens to be in this specific korban, what happens, right? Chronologically, what happens? Right. But that's a different type of causal relationship than being in the substratum. So the Gemara is in conflict. What do we do with Dom now? Right? It can't be both. So what does the Gemara do? It pulls that second miut and uses the other mincha to say, oh no, that can exclude Dom from that one. So it's an amazing thing. The Gemara, see, that's why if you get lost in the drush, you'll never figure this out. The real point is this point, is that Dom is a very unique, funny relationship. On the one hand, it's substratum-ish, which means that you can't have the korma without it. On the other hand, in the chronology of steps of korban, what role does it play? It's a matir. It has a different causal relationship. It's very torn, so to speak. What's the Gemara's objective? Is to show you that dam doesn't require melicha, right? So it uses the pasuk to show you that. I'm just trying to show you that it's because dam is so weird. Dam is a very weird role in the process of korban, right? It's both primary in the sense that I can't speak of korban without dam, but at the same time, it's also something that in the chronology of steps of korban as a different kind of relationship. It's a matir. Come on, we're doing well. Okay, good. And this is the hardest part. I won't say that, but it's more, I'd say. So the Gemara then says, Shua, it says, Yachol. Okay, so now the Gemara says, maybe you'll say what? Maybe you'll say that the mincha itself, everything in the mincha requires melach. Why not? Why not say that? So the Gemara says, no. Why not? Well, because it says in the pasuk, v'chol korban minchasecha b'melach timlach. Korban, right? Now, what does korban here mean in the context of mincha? No. Kmitza. Kmitza. Remember, kmitza is the part that's, again, it's the makrif part. So the just like what you say is that when it says v'chol korban minchasecha, right? Read the korban to, it's a funny way of reading it. That's why we know how to do drush. Read korban in order not as this species of korban, meaning mincha, which is what anyone with an English art school would definitely explain it as. Rather, read it as which aspect of mincha requires melach, the part that is korban. Which part of melach is korban? Which part of mincha is korban? Kmitza. Okay, so it says korban ton melach ein mincha kula tumna melach. Right? So only the part that's korban, ed, right, requires melach in the mincha, right, and not anything else. So what's that? What do you say over there? See, it's interesting. This goes back to what we were saying before. I always like going back to what we were saying before. Good, good. You see, because think about it. Yes, I like that. I like the way Derek is putting it also. Because think about it for a second. On a basic level, right? What's the function of melach, right, in relationship to the mincha versus the function of melach in relationship to the korban? By korban, what's melach doing? By animal, it's drawing blood. It ain't doing that by my mincha. What's it doing by mincha? Well, again, yeah, you can't deny that. There has to be some culinary. In other words, it's having some culinary effect on what it called on the mincha, right? So, what would you think? You think since that's the nature of the relationship. So then, you're right. Then what I would say, what you're saying is very good. What you would say is, okay, well now as far as I'm concerned, right, if I look at it through the lens of Ochal, right, who cares what's being kmitza and what's not being kmitza? Then all I'm doing is, I'm just taking out some flour and oil from flour and oil, right? There's no mechanism to differentiate. But this is where the Gemara draws the line. It says, no. When you look at mincha, right, whatever it's, the melach, when we say bris melach and kol korban minchascha, blah, 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 all those words, right? It's talking about the avoda, meaning, like you were saying, Darius, very beautifully, inside that container that has in it flour and oil, there's actually two discrete, so to speak, substances, right? One, even though they look exactly the same, one is that which is going to be eaten, sort of. No, yeah, because when he does kmitza in there, what's he going to be? He's saying en potentia. He's saying inside the thing itself that it exists, the idea of one chunk that's going to be eaten, and one chunk is going to be kmitza, right? So when he's doing right. So that makes it tied to the actual ma'isa avoda. See, fits in very nicely to the same way that melach is done on the mizbeach to the animal, right? At the time of the actual hakrava, so too over here. Very good. So when I would look into it, obviously when he takes it out, it's when it's true. But when I look inside, when the guy has the mixed flour and oil, what do you actually see in there? You're seeing, so to speak, separating out, right? What's going to be left for ochel, and then the part set aside for hakrava.
Right, meaning
before you do. See now the Gemara is again in the simple flow. The Gemara is beautiful because the Gemara says, "Well, 1 second, you're going to start talking about kmitza only." Well, it turns out there's something else we bring. Now we're going to touch on this very briefly. You have another odd substance here, which is levona. What's odd about the levona? Okay, that's one thing that's odd. What else is odd about it? Just think reasonably.
It's not in the before kmitza. It's only after kmitza.
That's also true. But what about in its relationship to the? Let me ask you a question. Let's say Dov came over, right, and he baked a cake for me, and he put levona on top of it. Is it part of the ochel?
It's an addition. It's a garnish.
Well, certainly not. It's not a salt garnish, right?
Like,
that's like. Oh, okay. We'll see. It's not a garnish.
Sprinkles. Right.
Like, what is it? And I'm being serious. Like, and the first tip, this is their first mentioning of frankincense, right? What is its what? Right. What's its? In other words, it's got a funny relationship here because it's not really part of the substance, right? Because you're adding it to the blilud. Flour and oil, right? But it's very important, right? It's certainly not. I don't think it's Minai and the Rabbah says Lavona, right? Meaning, what's the Gemara's question? Well, meaning that, what would you say? You would say, what? Right. So the Gemara says, no, Marbe Ani es Lavona, Ima. This is an unbelievable answer. This is like the hardest part to understand. What a silly Gemara, right? The Gemara is silly. Because it's saying, what's the Havamina? You would think that Levona should not require Malicha, right? In other words, Mipi, its substance, Mipi what it is, there's no reason to do Malicha on Levona. So why do you do Malicha on Levona? It happens to be in the same clay. What kind of thing is that? By the way, think about, come on, show me why this is such an astonishing statement by the Gemara. What's crazy about that? Say that, maybe enough of this. In other words, let's put it more halachic terms. It's tafel, meaning if I look at this thing, the fact that it's sitting on levona is sitting on top, it's not part of the substance. So what's its relationship to the rest of the blila? Oh, we'll get to that in a second. But I'm saying it's a relationship. It's sort of like a secondary relationship. It's tafel to it, right? It's sitting on top. It's not part of the actual thing itself. Right, but what's the fact that it's in the same kli? That's not simply like a happenstance. What's it showing you? What makes it part of it? What? No. Not the kli. It's the what. You were saying it before. What?
That's part of the korban.
What are you going to be doing with this now? So it's part of the ma'isa hakrava. You see, mipi, it's an amazing thing. Its relationship to the actual mincha is secondary. Its relationship to the ma'isa hakrava, though, is primary. It's part of the act of being makriv. It's true vis-a-vis the substance of mincha itself. It's a secondary relationship. It's on top, right? It's an additive. But vis-a-vis the ma'isa hakrava, since it's in the same kli, everything in that kli, what do you do to it? You makriv it.
It's like fat